Hello, and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller, and I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Professor Emma Smith, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Criminal Justice Degree Program, and a PhD candidate at Ryerson University. Thank you very much for joining me today, Emma.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic, cultural criminology, which a lot of people don't necessarily know a lot about. So what is cultural criminology exactly?
Sure. So cultural criminology is a relatively new discipline in practice. However, it has been influenced or spawned out of scholarly frustrations with orthodox criminology. So several decades ago, in sort of mid-20th century, a lot of scholars who were interested in crime were frustrated with the bureaucratic practices of university institutions. They wanted more funding available to different types of projects. They didn't necessarily want to go and conduct quantitative studies. So they decided to really create their own approach towards criminology and studying it. And so through this sort of rebirth or shift, a new form of cultural criminology emerged, which has brought along with it a different theoretical lens at viewing crime and also a different methodological approach towards studying crime.
So what is that theoretical lens that differs between just general criminology versus a cultural criminology?
Sure. So cultural criminology, theoretically, looks at the intersections of consumerism, transgressions, and pleasures, and really is looking at how elements of crime and culture intersect within our society and how they fuel larger cycles of consumption, maybe obsession, and how they fuel larger cycles of consumption and obsession within our modern world. So why are people turning on Netflix and consuming all of these documentaries about murderers? Why are people listening to these serial podcasts all the time? What do these narratives do and how do they influence us as citizens and our perceptions of society and the security or safety of our communities?
You touched on our society's like for consumption of true crime, and there's a section in all bookstores of true crime. So does cultural criminology explain how that relates to the incidence of crime?
Right, absolutely. So cultural criminology approaches these true crime type of novels or narratives and is really wanting to dissect what's involved in producing these storylines, these images. Why is there this obsession, and what role do these narratives play in filling out sort of people's lives? Cultural criminology is largely rooted in this premise that we're living in this time of late modernity, which means that we are living in a time where there is a lot of uncertainty to do with work, to do with education, to do with financial security, health. We're living in this period of limbo where people are barely surviving, and oftentimes they are turning to crime in itself to help fund or to help support their needs during a very difficult time. But for those who don't turn to specific criminal activity, they're turning to consuming crime narratives in order to fill a void that's going on in their life. It's sort of this temporary suspension of boredom and frustration with our modern capitalistic times. So then we turn and we just want to watch Making a Murderer or these different types of narratives because it's a relief.
How do cultural criminologists study this? What methodologies do they use that's different from criminology in a general sense?
So just as the definition or trying to define and really contextualize cultural criminology can be quite vast and everyone has sort of different interpretations, the methodology side of it is not as straightforward. So we don't, as cultural criminologists, go out into the field and conduct surveys or data collection. We certainly can, but that is not our main focus. We really want to challenge and engage with different types of methodologies, and oftentimes sort of mixing them or blending them to create our own approaches towards studying crime and media and culture. So one of the most popular ways that we go about it is to conduct ethnographies. So whether we are immersing ourselves amongst certain populations of study, So we have had scholars, cultural criminologist scholars, go and join graffiti artists, right, and follow them around Colorado and see the different arts that they do and their subculture, or joining a motorcycle gang and taking part in that type of a culture and really sort of living their experiences of crime. That can be one part, but we also want to engage critically in assessing how the media really frames different stories, and that can be done through discourse analyses or content analyses of different publications. I myself am very critical of all different types of investigative documentaries that the public broadcasting companies have released, and how these different narratives are framed in these documentaries that are really sort of telling us or forcing us to think one way about crime and justice and our social systems.
I'm not sure if there is necessarily an answer to this, but how cultural criminologists, how would they, if there's a theory under the umbrella of cultural criminology, say that we can reduce crime in our society? Is it looking at the boredom and the true crime phenomenon that you're speaking about? Is that a way to possibly move towards a different sort of entertainment? Is there any theories under that umbrella of cultural criminology that explain any of that?
I think cultural criminology really likes to take a macro-level view of looking at the role of crime within our society. So, and that's part of sort of, I guess, our mission statement, if we were to have one, is to really take that step back. And so one would argue that if we want to reduce crime, we really need to look at elements of capitalism in our society and look at elements of welfare, issues of jobs, lack of job security, lack of education security, and I mean, all these larger social institutions that are really all linked together that are failing us in different ways. And we really need to inject more focus and energy and funding into those bodies in order to really help mitigate crime.
So interesting. Cultural criminology, I'm sure, is going to really start to push into the forefront of the criminal justice studies. I want to thank you again, Emma, for coming on the show today. Until next time, I'm Natalie Miller, and this has been Criminal Justice Knowledge.